Well, the word's good. I do want to encourage you. The doors will open at 5:30, or no, 6 o'clock for those services, an hour before. I want to encourage you to get here early. I don't know how many people are going to be here. And some of the other churches, we don't want them to come pack this place out and we don't get seats. And so be hungry, amen? Amen. Be hungry to show up, hallelujah. But let's go to Proverbs 6 to start this morning. You know, last week we finished up our series, Bearing Much Fruit. We found out if we want to bear fruit and be blessed and be used by God, how to do it. Just be good ground, right? Well, the characteristic of the good ground that we saw was what? Hearing and doing the word. That's it. You want to be good ground and bear fruit? Hear what God says, then do what God says. And this message I had intended to preach on a Wednesday night weeks and weeks ago. That was my intention. I knew I was supposed to preach along these lines. But the Spirit of God said, no, this will be the first message you preach after you preach the parable of the sower. Now, why is that? Well, from going forward from last week, now we know if we want to bear maximum fruit, we need to be a doer of the word. So today will give us an opportunity again, like usually it does when we gather, to be doers of the word. It's going to try and attempt to pull some people up higher, onto a higher plane with God, and more walking in His image and in His light and His will. It's going to be a message to keep people sharp, praise God, and to encourage people. And so let's find out what I'm talking about here, but let's pray first. Father, we love You and praise You. We glorify and magnify You. We bless Your mighty name. We're so thankful for the word this morning. Help us say what needs to be said. Help us to do what needs to be done. Father, You're always trying to pull us up higher to be more like You. That's what Your goal is. The more we look, live, talk, have an attitude and think like Jesus, the more blessed we'll be. So Father, help us get to a new level this morning. We'll give You the praise. We'll give You the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, these six things does the Lord hate. Seven are abomination to Him. Well, I'll tell you, if God hates something, you ought to hate it. But the first thing He says is, in verse 17, a proud look. Well, I was starting a series on pride, and this would have been the second message in it, and this is when the Lord said, no, hold off, hold off. The Bible says that Lord hates pride, and Proverbs 8, verse 13 says it again, that I hate pride. But look at what the Bible says real quick about pride in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So God hates it. It doesn't lead to anything good in your life. And then it says over there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, this is the one that really jumps off the page at me. And you'll see an area of pride this morning that we want to avoid and make sure. But there's a lot of different areas of pride, amen? There's vanity and different things, but we'll look at one area of it. But it says here, actually, go to verse 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. That's being humble. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, we live in a generation and a day and age with the media and Hollywood and sports stars and everybody with selfies and Facebook. It's all about self-promotion. Me, 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 me. Look what I'm doing. Look at me. Everybody look at me. It's all about me. Well, that God hates that kind of stuff. He actually says that He doesn't just hate it. He actually resists prideful people. Imagine having God coming against you. It's one thing just to have Him sit on the sidelines. It's another thing to have Him work against you. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So why am I saying this? We want to avoid any form of pride. Any form of pride is not what we want in our lives. We want to have humility. We want to be humble people. And then with saying this, we're also looking in this church to model ourselves after the book of Acts. The book of Acts, that was the first church after Jesus had died and rose again. And they had signs, wonders, and miracles like crazy. They were the template of what God wants and how to do it. Well, one thing we see with the early church, and again, you can study this out yourself, but over and over again, it's noted and mentioned about the early church that they had all things in common. They weren't selfish. They were givers of themselves. They were always in one accord. That means, it's like this. You go to the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, and they sound wonderful. But if the flute player wants to play a different piece, then everybody else, even though everybody else is playing in sync, it's going to make that whole thing sound awful. If the drummer wants to play a different beat than he's supposed to, even though everybody else is doing their part, one accord is so vital. And he mentions it over and over in Acts. They were in one accord. They all had the same mind, the same heart, the same direction. And power was made available because of that. And so we want that. But more importantly, like I was praying, we want to be Christ-like. You do realize the more you think like Him, the more you live like Him, the more you talk like Him, the more you believe like Him, the greater success you'll have. Why? Jesus dominated everywhere He went. Amen. So let's find out what I'm talking about, this area of pride, this morning after our series of doing the Word. Because again, what's this message going to do? Some people need to be pulled up higher in this church. Some people just need to be kept sharp, and some people just need encouragement. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Here we go. Says, let this mind be in you. What's he saying? Take this form of thinking. It's not a suggestion. He's telling you to do it. Think like this. Which was also in Christ Jesus. There was, I said earlier, thinking like Him. That's the goal. Well, the Bible's telling us now, have this mind in you. It's going to tell you what mind to have. But the mind it's telling you to have is also the mind of Christ Jesus. Because Paul also knew, if I can get you thinking like Christ, I can get you having results like Christ had. Amen. And that's what we want. Well, what was the mind that was in Christ? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with Him, but made Himself of no reputation. Now, we looked at that in the first part of pride. You'll go back to some Wednesday nights. Jesus made Himself a nobody. Jesus wasn't out there, I'm amazing and I'm so wonderful. No, he went from absolute royalty to becoming a humble little baby boy. And I said this in that message, and I don't mean this. It sounds funny, and it sounds, but I'm not trying to be funny. Sometimes I'm sarcastic, and I'm not trying to be. He went from the king of the world on the throne in heaven to a little baby that poops his diapers. He humbled Himself. Amen? If you really think about what He became and how He put Himself of no reputation, but here's what I want you to see, and took upon Him the form of a servant. That's what we're talking about today. Serving. Why? Some people need to be pulled up higher. Some people just need to get sharpened off a little bit with it. And some people need to be encouraged in what they're doing. He took upon Him the form of a servant. Remember, let this mind be in you. So He says, you ought to make yourself of no reputation. You ought to make yourself a servant. Yeah, that's what it says. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Humility and serving go together. The King of Kings, who's in what king that you know of, you look back and you read in the past, became as one of the people for the purpose to serve the people. I don't know of any. I know of kings sitting on thrones and giving out the orders and being kingly type things. But Jesus humbled Himself, and what does humility do? Humility takes the form of a servant. That's what Jesus did. Praise God. Let this mind be in you. So, the Bible tells us one way we can avoid being prideful is by humbling ourselves and serving. So I want to talk about serving today. Praise God. So we're going to look at four things that the Lord had me look at for serving. So for you numbers, this is a good one for you. I want to start in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 when it comes to serving. Because we're going to show you what the Bible says about serving. We're going to show you the blessing that comes from serving. We're going to show you how backwards it is if you don't serve. Now again, if it's correction, we get corrected and move on and make changes. If it's encouragement, we get encouraged. If it's just to sharpen some things or whatever, we just take whatever it is. But number one, are you ready for the number one point talking about serving? Amen. It's not above anybody. Nobody's above serving. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, look at Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, he's pointing out when he says for even the Son of Man, he's pointing out the greatest man that ever was. Of course, he was God on the earth too, but he was man as well. Even Jesus, the Bible says, came not to be ministered to. If anybody came to the earth that deserved to be ministered to, it was him. But it said even the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister, or to serve is what it means, and to give his life a ransom for many. So what am I saying? If Jesus served, guess what you should do? Serve. Absolutely. And we're going to talk mostly in context of serving in the house of God. Why? Because we're going to look at context and things, and I will get ahead of myself. When you get born again, you get involved in a family. Sunday morning and Wednesday nights are family get-togethers. Food is being served. I'm feeding right now. Yeah, and so when we think about some things, and we'll look at these things in context here, it'll wake us up a little bit. But look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It's not above anybody. People aren't above serving. I'm too good to serve. Don't talk to me about the nursery. Don't talk to me about cleaning. I'm too busy. Don't talk to me about serving in overhead or being an usher. Don't talk to me about that serving stuff. Oh, pride. Pride is stinky. It's a stinky way of living. It's a stinky behavior. It's not like Jesus. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I've taught on this. But why did he give these ministers? Well, the next verse tells us, for the perfecting of the saints. God wants you perfected. Hey, church, guess why Pastor Mike's having a prophet in town? To help you. Anybody with an attitude, I don't need those meetings. I don't get anything out of him. You're wrong. You are not above what the Bible says. He stands up here in an office that's here to bless you, to perfect you, to help you. Go ahead, stay unperfected. Don't come out to the meeting. Don't avail yourself to these things and nothing will change. Things will stay the same because that's why God gave them. But that's the first thing. But then the second thing he gave them was, one of the reasons he gave you a pastor was for the perfecting of the saints, but also for the work. Everybody say the work.
The work.
The work of the ministry or the church. People think, Pastor, I thought you were supposed to do the work of the ministry. Nope. It's my job to raise you up to do the work around here. That's what the Bible says. The ministry or the church needs workers to keep it going smoothly. Amen. Walmart runs smoothly because there's workers. Restaurants run smoothly because there's workers. Amen. It's the truth for the work of the ministry. Now, drop down to verse 16. Because people think, well, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. Well, look what 16 says. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, talking about the body of Christ, and compacted that which, what's the next word? Every. You know who that means? Everybody. Every joint, talking about in the body of Christ, just like your body has joints, every joint in the spiritual body of Christ does what? supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Let me translate that to you in English. Every member of the body of Christ, just like in your body, has a role, a function, right? The arm, the elbow, the heart, the lungs, the ears, the eyes, the nose. We're all different members, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12. But the Bible says that every member, every joint, has a supply to bring to the body. When that supply is brought to the body, the end says it makes increase of the body. When your arm doesn't want to work, it hurts your body. When you have pain in your foot, it hurts your body. When you have a headache, it hurts your body. Amen, it's true. Well, when we have members in this local body, and some members don't bring a supply and say, I'm above that, I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to do the work of the ministry, the body is deficient and lacks and doesn't increase like it should. Amen. Glory to God. He's trying to bring you up higher. John 13 and verse 1. Look at Jesus here, John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper ended, and the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. He's getting ready to wash Peter's feet. Peter said, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? See, Peter was shocked by it. Wait, you're going to get down on your knees and wash my feet? Look what Jesus' response was. Jesus answered, said to him, what I do now knowest not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash you not, you have no part in me. Now he was talking spiritually there too of washing him clean. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Because Jesus gets done saying, you have no part in me. He said, wash everything then. Well, Jesus, when he said about washing him clean, was talking about washing him from his sins. Not on my feet, on my hands, and my feet. Jesus said to him, he that washeth needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And you are clean, but not all of you. Talking about Judas. But then listen to what he said. For he, verse 11, knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed his feet, he had taken his garments and sat down again. And he said unto them, do you know what I've done to you? Talking about washing their feet. You call me Master and Lord, and it's right that you say that, because I am that. Are you ready? Woo! If then, if I then, your master and your Lord, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. What's he saying? If I served you, you ought to serve one another. You know when the usher sits out there and doesn't get to be in here for service, you know what he's doing? He's serving all of us to keep us safe. You know, right on the other side of that wall, there's a nursery worker watching somebody else's children. What are they doing? Serving one another. Right now, my wife's over in children's church with other people's kids. So you can be in here. She's serving all of you. Right now, there's someone over in the little nursery. Over there, the littler kids, serving other people's children. They didn't even give birth to that kid.
Yeah, well, praise God.
They're wiping their nose and smelling their toots and all that good stuff. That's the word we use anyways, you know. That's okay, isn't it, to say that in church? I mean, it's just true. That's what kids do. They're not even their kids, but they're serving you. People are sitting up there and getting early. They come in and type and put the scriptures up and get on sound and Come during the week and clean so you can come to a nice clean church and people make food and set up and take down. Why? What are they doing? They're serving everybody. That's what's happening. And Jesus said, if I'm doing this for one another, how much more should we do this for one another? Amen. That's what he's saying. Now, again, when we go back to the example of a family, when you're born again, the Bible says you become children of God. He's dad, we're brothers and sisters, right? In the Lord. Remember when Paul got saved, he went over to Ananias. Ananias was going to lay hands on him to give Paul back his sight, and he addressed him by saying, Brother Saul. Well, they weren't naturally brothers, but spiritually, we're brothers and sisters. And we're in a family. And Wednesdays and Sundays, and then things during the week, the house needs upkeep. We're gathering together as a family, and this is a family meal. Amen. Feeding the sheep. Well, it's out of order to constantly go to your family's meal, eat and get up and leave. 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 That's called mooching. I used to be first class in that. Woo, I excelled. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not serving, you're a mooch. I'm not saying that. That might not be your heart attitude. You just might need your mind renewed. So please don't understand that. But that's what the behavior seemingly is like. If someone always, if nobody, my kids, they know. You eat, you take your plate over to the table, you rinse it off, you throw your stuff away. You don't just leave it there. You help set the table. You help around the house. You're going to vacuum the house. Why? You're part of the family. Isn't that a right thing? You know, I had a lot of trouble with my stepdad growing up, and I look back now, I think, man, a lot of that problems, he's a great man, got saved by a hard-working man, loved us. But I just had a problem, and a lot of that problem was because of me and my attitude. You know, he was disciplined, you know, military guy who had his ducks in a row, and there was me, lazy. I'd have a snow day, and he'd come home, and his driveway would still be full of snow, and their teenager sat home in his room all day and played video games. Well, no wonder it ticked him off. And the lawn stays unmowed, or come home and the dishes are dirty, or mom slaves over a meal, gets home from work all day, makes a nice meal, and then mom's left to do the dishes? That's out of order. Just like you ought to be serving and helping in your natural home, how much more for the people in the house of God? If we give honor to natural things, we should give more honor to spiritual things. Or at least we shouldn't go lesser than natural things. That's why we say people give attention to their job and their school, and the house of God is absolutely optional to most people. Well, if I get there, if I can. But here's God that's setting up this for us to be received, to be blessed. It's the same thing with serving around here and being a blessing to the house of God. Other people are, it's clean because other people did this. We have music because people get here early and learn the songs and sing and do the sound back there, and ushers to do things, and nursery workers and cleaners and food people, and we just have wonderful, wonderful people around here, but we all need to get involved. Amen. We all need to step up. Why? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If Jesus served one another, we ought to serve one another. Amen. So number one, it's you're not above it. If Jesus did it, you're going to do it, or should. But here we go. Let's start getting some goodies here. Number two, serving sets you up for greatness. What do you mean? Well, go to Matthew 23 and verse 11. Matthew 23 and verse 11. He that is greatest among you. I mean, we should strive for greatness. Not to be great in the sense of everybody looks at us and says, wow. No, greatness in the kingdom of God. Being great for Him. But he that is greatest, Jesus said, I'll tell you right now who the greatest ones are. Well, don't we want to know what the Father thinks great is? Don't you want to be great in Dad's eyes? I want Dad to look at me and say, that's my great son. He's great. I do. Well, let's find out what great is. He that is greatest among you will be your servant. Those people over there serving other people's kids, they're great. people that take their time during the week and come and clean this place. When nobody sees it, they're great. Amen. Ushers that sit out there while we're all in here receiving and all the good and exciting stuff's going on. They're sitting out there bored by themselves. Hi, don't fall asleep out there, Steve. I mean, you're all alone out there. And he's great. That's greatness. Praise God. People that work and get a message ready for children's church. And so our kids can learn the things of God and activities for them. That's greatness. Ushers that come here early to open doors for people to go out and hold the umbrella for you when it's raining. That's greatness. And Jesus said, he that is greatest among you will be your servant. But then look at verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or brought low. Now remember, why? Because when you serve, you're humbling yourself. But whoever exalts themselves will be brought low. And he that will humble himself, well, Jesus said he humbled, became a servant. When you become a servant, the Bible says that sets you up for promotion. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Amen. Amen. I think about, some of you might not know him, but there's a lady by the name of Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and most of you know who she is, and she'll be in this fall, actually. She'll be in Pastor Michael's church. And I don't know if that changed now, going to Pastor Tim's or whatever with a bigger venue, but she's, to me, the best Bible teacher on planet Earth. And, I mean, bar none. Just, whew. But she had a husband, passed away, went home with Jesus. He's in heaven now. Dr. Dufresne, who walked in the prophet office and walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. And I've received so much from him, so many times where he'd speak over my life, either ministering the word or call me up and give me a word. He knew nothing about my life and read my mail of what I was going through, and it came to pass later on. I said, my God, that office is awesome. That's what Reverend Greer stands in, by the way. And Dr. Dufresne, used by God all over the world, traveling the world, setting people free, signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, God's man using him. And he gets born again. He's in a bar on a bar stool, and the Spirit of God speaks to him and says, you're going to go all over the world and preach the gospel. And he said he was drunk, and he told everybody in the bar that day, he bought them all a round of beer and said, I'm going to be a priest. He didn't know, you know. And said he showed up to church with his huge Catholic Bible that he had. But this is the attitude that man had. He got to church, and the first thing he went up to the pastor, sir, what can I do? What can I do around here? Jesus saved me. What can I do? Amen. This place has saved us in so many ways. What can we do for this place? What can we do for you, God? Amen. He said, what can I do? And he said, clean the toilets. Oh, what a blessing and honor to clean the toilets of the church. Yeah. Amen. He quit his job as a construction foreman to build a church for free. And at night, he would go out behind the Save-A-Lot grocery store and wait for them to bring the extra food that they were throwing away, and he'd ask if he could have it. Talk about the prophet of God, doing anything he can for the house of God. You talk about abasing or making yourself low, and God brought him up high. I love listening to stories about that my pastor. There's nobody I honor and respect more on planet Earth than Pastor Michael Luketic. I don't care what people think. And the things that he had to go through and serve, and he talks about his toilet cleaning ministry. How he'd get before that thing and clean it as if Jesus was going to be us. Amen? I'm not great. I'm not even close to these people. But I'll tell you what, I didn't get to come to pastor two churches by showing up and saying, I'm a preacher boy, put me in the pulpit. No. I had the same talk with my pastor, sir, whatever it's on you, and say, go out and stand in the parking lot. So he did to me. I got out of Bible school. Whatever you need. I thought he was going to be like, do my announcements. Preach my offerings. The only preaching I was doing was in my tree stand of the trees. Oh, some of my best sermons have been to an oak tree. I'll tell you, you heard some of those things. I thought they were good. And, laying it on thick, you know, just for effect, but it was true. If he wants to cut the grass on our hands and knees with scissors, we'll do it. Okay, go stand in the parking lot with an orange vest, no matter what the weather is. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Praise God. Just You read about the great men and women of God, they're not the ones that were saying, you know, sticking their nose up to nursery. I'm not going to usher. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to clean. They were like, what do you need? And in fact, Dr. Frame would say this about the church, house of God. He would say, if the church needs carpet and we personally need carpet, guess who's getting the carpet?
Church.
The church. And that was a man that lived blessed. Well, you see why these people live blessed. You see why Jesus was exalted.
Amen.
Amen. So number one, Jesus, you're not above it. Jesus did it. He set the example. Serving sets you up for greatness. People that serve are great in God's eyes. Number three, are you ready? Let's get even deeper. I told you I was going to poke and prod you today. Well, this is going to be me sticking my two fingers in your side real deep. I mean, at first it tickles, but now it's going to hurt. Getting in there with the ribs and digging around, you know. And being willing to do whatever's needed. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Jesus, I'm sure of it, was not thrilled to go to the cross. Going over there and wiping some other kid's nose that's not even yours and smelling their toots. That's interesting so far today. It pales in comparison to going to the cross. But why did Jesus go to the cross? He didn't go to the cross for himself. He went to the cross for you. Why is someone in nursery over there and in another room in children's church? Not for themselves, for you. Why am I here doing this every single week, faithfully coming and preaching the word? For you. Why are there ushers? For you. Singers? For you. To serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Being willing to do whatever is needed. Jesus showed us by getting on his knees and washing feet that he's not above anything. Whatever's needed, he'll do it. Amen. Go with me to Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Don't think you're ever worthy to be up here in a public showing if you're not first worthy to be on your knees in front of a toilet. If you're not worthy first willing to go in and help with the nursery and with kids. And we don't have anybody that's ever said that to me in this church, but I've heard it before. I'll do worship team. Oh yeah, I know you will, because you like to be seen. Quiet in here. We're not supposed to be quiet today. I'm trying to bring you up to greatness in Jesus' eyes. I want great people, praise God. Isaiah 1 and verse 19, look at this now. Says, if you'll be willing and if you'll be obedient, the result will be you'll eat the good of the land. Now, I've told you my story, and I'll tell it again for those that haven't heard it that much. I got born again January 10th, 2002. And right in that time frame was right when I came out of 26 jobs in 2 years. 4 or 5 different colleges, different majors for each one. Not having a clue what to do with my life. Lost, you know. Every job I'd start at, I just know this is not it. This is not it. The only way it just felt off, you know. Like Brother Hagin would say, it's kind of like showering with your socks on. I just don't feel right. Try it today. Shower with your socks and you'll like it a lot better with them off. Just feels weird. I just felt weird. Everything I did, I felt weird. I couldn't figure out what my life was, you know. And I never, you know, there's something willing and obedience. You know what that is? That's called consecration. You know how Jesus got to the cross? He didn't get to the cross because he was super excited and went charging towards Calvary. No, he went through the garden first. The Garden of Gethsemane, right? The garden of get on my face and be so stressed out that sweat's not coming out of me. I'm sweating blood. That's what he did. You research it, some people that have been on death row that are about to die, drops of blood have started coming out of their head. They're so stressed. Jesus wasn't super excited about the cross. He tried to get out of it, you know. See, he did? Yeah, remember he asked God, Lord, if you'll take it away, please take it away. Lord, if you're willing, let this cup pass for me. What's he saying? I don't want to do this. Who would? But it didn't matter. If Jesus wanted to do something, it was needed. So how did he get to do that? How did Jesus get into the nursery? How did Jesus get into ushering? How did Jesus get into doing children's church and coming to clean? How did he do it? He got on his knees and said, Father, not my will, but yours. Whatever's needed, I'll humble myself, Lord, and whatever you need, I'll do it. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I don't care what I want. I don't care what my choice would be. Lord, what do you need? I need you to go to the cross. Bible talks about enduring hardness like a good soldier. Soldiers don't have a choice. The captain comes in and talks to a private. Clean the toilets. Nope. Oh, yeah, that'll go over well. Go out and pick up all the cigarette butts. No, don't want to do that. Oh, that'll go over well. No. Sir, yes, sir. Yeah. Ma'am, yes, ma'am. Whatever. The Bible talks about Timothy. He told Timothy, endure hardness like a good soldier. Well, we're not sometimes a lot of soldiers in the body of Christ. Sometimes we're wusses. Come on. Come on. All about what we want in us and our life. We don't want to be that way. We want to be like Jesus. Jesus was sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. What do you need? I don't care if I want to or not. And here I was struggling, and I knew, well, I should say it this way. I finally sought God and said, Lord, I've been born again now for months, and nothing's changing. Like, I'm struggling, my mind, my body, my finances, everything. Nothing's getting better. And this verse popped up in my heart, Isaiah 1:19, if you'll be willing and obedient. Well, I knew what he was talking about. Because I had told the Lord out loud, I said, I'll never go to China. And I'll never go to Africa. I mean, it's a stretch for me. I got to pray in tongues before I go to Canada to get the courage to get out of the U.S. I just like our country. I'm homebody, you know. I go to Canada, I feel like I'm in the jungle. I know it seems weird to all you, but that's just who I am. I'm a simple guy who likes to be home. And I told the Lord, I said, I won't go to China and Africa. And then it came up, willing and obedient. He said, you're struggling in life because you're not willing and obedient. Well, I thought that meant he's going to send me to China or Africa. So I was sick of being sick and tired. You know, eating the good of the land is better than not. Amen. Well, how do you get to the good of the land? You go through the door of willingness and the door of obedience. What is it here this morning, I've asked this a lot of times, that you are unwilling to do for this place? What is it that you are unwilling to do for God? If your mind says, I'll never do nursery, I don't care how much he preaches this, a good of the land that you are supposed to be partaking in will be kept from you. I'll never come clean the church. I had one lady in the Jamestown church when I used to be the associate there. She said, I'll clean, Pastor Mike, sign me up, but don't expect me to do the toilets. I said, that's okay, we don't need you. I won't do the toilets. What do you mean? That's the glory part of cleaning. You say, what do you mean that's the glory part of cleaning? That's the time you get to be so honorable and clean something so disgusting and so dirty with a good attitude for Jesus. That's the glory part of cleaning the toilets. This is good and it helps and sweeping, but that in there is where it's at. Serving in the parking lot when the sun was shining was good, but serving in the parking lot when it was raining and blowing sideways and directing people and loving on people and holding umbrella, that was the glory part of it. Amen. Not having a good night's sleep and knowing you're on the nursery schedule and going in there and having a good attitude and taking care of other people's kids and being loving and sweet and kind, that's glory part. Yes, sir. Amen. And so what is it that you're unwilling? Because all it's doing, it's between you and God. Matter to me, keep doing what you want. Other people just keep stepping up because they do. But there's a good of the land that God wants you to have. But here's what I want to tell you is that just because you're willing doesn't mean that God will use you in it. Because I knew that the good of the land was being held for me because I wouldn't be willing to go to China or Africa. So I remember on the way to work, it was between 4 or 5 in the morning, worked at the Falconer General Store there right on the outside of Falconer, going in by the transfer station there. There's a gas station and a little cafe type place. I'd get there and get the coffee and the breakfast food already and driving to work in my 1990 Nissan pickup, 200-some thousand miles on that thing, rust all over it, you know. I threw a snowball through it once. Not because I have a good arm, but that's how bad the rust was. Right through the truck. It was awesome looking. Because it really made me look like I had a cannon on me, you know. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so I said, I threw my hands up in the air. I said, fine. Give him an attitude, you know. Like it's his problem. I said, fine. I'll do it. I'll go to China and I'll go to Africa. Well, it was either the week that next Sunday or the Sunday after that I was in service and I got direction for my life. God spoke to me and said, go to Rhema. All that time, God was just waiting for me to be willing and obedient. And then I started eating the good of the land. That was the beginning to my ministry. It was. Well, what good of the land's being held from you because you're just so unwilling. It's wrong. It's wrong. Praise God. Go with me real quick to Luke 22 and verse 41. I'll clean, but I won't clean the toilets. Well, then you ain't fit for cleaning ministry. Seriously, think about this, people. I'm not trying to get gross and stuff, but think about it. There are people that come here in private and clean facilities that you use so they're clean the next time you use them. That's amazing to me. No fanfare, no announcement of who cleaned that week. They just come and do it faithfully. And I've never shown up to a dirty church.
Amen.
It's awesome. But why is it okay for us to sit back and think, they'll just keep doing nursery for me. They'll just keep doing children's church for me. Someone will just keep cleaning. Someone will keep doing the food.
Come on.
This is heavy stuff. But we're trying to pull people up higher to look like Jesus. Can you imagine, think about Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus, if something was needed in the church, him saying, eh. No. Praise the Lord. Luke 22 and verse 41. Y'all need to have a Garden of Gethsemane moment. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. What cup was it? The cup of death he was about to drink by being a servant, by laying down his life for other people, doing something he didn't want to do. Doing something that was really inconvenient for him. Amen?
Amen?
But what does the Bible say? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? Think like Jesus thought. Well, what does that mean? When there's something that needs to be done and you don't want to do it, you do what Jesus would do, which is what? You do it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now remember, what is the good ground? The good ground is the ones that hear it and do it.
Amen.
He said, if you're willing, take it away from me. What's he saying in Pastor Mike translation? Lord, it'd be nice not to have to do this. And if it's okay with you, I'd like not to. But he went on to say, nevertheless, it's not about me, Father. Not what I want, but your will be done. Well, we already saw what God's will is to be done for you to do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
To serve one another. Father, if you be willing, nevertheless, so we need to have a moment where we're on our face. We need to have a Pastor Mike in his truck moment, throwing your hands up in there and say, Lord, whatever you want. Listen, I'm not downplaying how difficult it can be to do nursery at times. I get it. I'm not downplaying how at times it's inconvenient to come here to clean or to sit out in the hall or to come here early. The worship team always has to show up way earlier than everybody else. I'm not downplaying those things are sacrifices and stuff. But we have to get over ourselves.
Amen.
It's not about us. It's about making this place run as smoothly and as excellent as possible.
Amen.
So we'll go to the fourth point here and we'll close down. Number one is you're not above serving. Jesus did it. Serving sets you up for greatness. The greatest among you will be a servant. Number three is being willing to do whatever. I'll tell you what, it was a bold, heavy slice of humble pie coming out of Bible school and being told to go stand in a parking lot. It was so good for me. So good for me to go serve. And you know what I told the Lord? We'll get to it here, number four. Are you ready?
Amen.
You can serve, but the way to serve is to serve with excellence.
Amen.
You know, your kids can walk away from you after you tell them to clean your room in a couple different ways. Clean your room. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. And go do it with a smile. Or stomp their feet and slam their door. Come back here. Let's try this again. unacceptable. We're going to be excellent around here. You can show up to do nursery in one of two ways. Miserable, short with the kids, show up late, run in, have someone else have to fill your slot until you get there, not be excellent. Or you can show up and say, I'm doing this for God. This is for the house of God. We'll call on and be the best nursery worker ever. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? You don't have to turn there. I'll just write this down for time's sake. Mark 7:37, you know what it says about Jesus? It says that he did all things well. Everything he did with excellence. You know what it said about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9? It said that his joy, Pastor Mike's translation, was basically through the roof. He was excellent and he did things joyfully. Not with a grumpy look on his face. Not with an attitude. Not giving, you know, Mary Jo, the head of the nursery, giving her a hard time. My wife, the head of children's church, giving her a hard time. Grandma Alice, the head of cleaning, giving her a hard time. Jeff, the head of ushers. Heather, the head of sound, giving him a hard time. Nope. Joyfully. Amen. Well. Excellently. Praise God. Look at, this will help you. We're talking about attitudes now. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Okay, fine, Pastor Mike, I'll serve. Nope, you missed it. Should be, fine, Pastor Mike, let's do this thing. Where do you need me, sir? Where do you need me? Praise God. I want to serve. Now again, if you're brand new here and you haven't had time to, there's balance here. Man, if you can't first be faithful to sit in a seat faithfully, we ain't going to trust you somewhere else. You got to be faithful to show up first. Amen. Colossians 3, General Electric Power Company. There it is. Colossians 3, 23. And whatsoever you do. Do you see that there? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. What's that mean? With all your heart. Not with some half attitude, right? Where you just, I'll just show up and give half of myself today. And nope. Heartily. What's that mean? With all your heart. You say, how is that possible? It is when you have this mind. As to the Lord. Not unto men. It's going to be hard to serve and you're tired and kids are coughing and snot bubbles are abounding in nursery and children's church. It's going to be hard to do that heartily when you're thinking about, well, the parents sitting in there and hearing the word and I have to be in here. You're not doing it. We are serving one another, but when your attitude should be, I'm doing this for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How different would it be for on time and excellence, if we would think, I'm doing this for Christ Himself.
Amen.
This is for Jesus. What would that mean? That would mean you'd be on time. You'd be faithful. You'd do it with excellence. You'd do it with honor. Amen. Well, I don't agree with what Heather says up there. I don't agree with how Mary Jo does nursery. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's who God told me to put in charge of that ministry.
Amen.
Well, if you don't like it, you just be honorable and you serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even if you think you can do it better, I'm to be an example to you. You know, one of the most humbling things ever for me was when my best friend, you know, the one I used to thump on, he thumped me too, but I thumped him more. He might say it different, but I don't trust him. Pastor Tim Stallman of the Jamestown Church, he became not only my pastor for a space and time, but he became my boss. Well, the Bible says I'm to honor my boss. I'm to honor my pastor. You talk about a dose of humble pie. Here's a guy that in so many things in my life, and there's things for him too, I was better at, excelled better at him, and again, he had things for him too, and now I'm told to serve him and honor him. Well, I have a choice to make, don't I? I can humble myself, or I can have an attitude and be a bad employee and be a bad sheep because I think I can do it better and I'd do it different. And there were a lot of things I thought, if I ever pastor, I'll do that different. Or if I ever pastor, it doesn't mean I was right. I'm just saying I thought it at the time, I'll do it a different way. Or I think it should be done this way. He's the God called him to pastor, not me. God called Mary Jo to be over nursery, not people that are serving under her. They're called to serve and help and lift up the vision. God called me to pastor this church, not you. Your job is to come alongside me and help me get this vision going. Amen. Amen. It's just the truth. God had it put on my heart to have Jeff be the head. Well, I don't agree with how Jeff does. Does it matter? Does it matter? It's honorable. We serve with faithfulness and honor. And I remember Pastor Tim, you know, on snowy days, I'd get there earlier than him, and I knew exactly where he was going to park. I'd go out there and shovel a path for my best friend, who's now my pastor and my boss, and I'd make his coffee the way he wanted when he'd get in, and I'd serve him with that and be honorable. Humble myself. Amen. Be times I just flat out disagree with him, but if he doesn't ask me for my opinion, then he's looking for my support. And that's my job, is to support him. And if he does something wrong, I'll pray for him. And God will deal with it. Amen. The one thing that people don't like that is so different than what the Bible is honor, structure, order, submission. I don't like to submit. I don't like to submit. You're going to have a hard time with God then. Because God's all about submission and order and things. He is. Being on time, being faithful, being excellent, being honorable. And I remember this. I'll give you these two last stories. And we'll close with this. I want to read one more verse to encourage you. I told the Lord out in the park, I knew I was called to preach. I knew it. I didn't know in what form or how that would manifest, but I knew it. I had it burning in me. It's the only thing that ever made sense. You know, working at the restaurant was showering with my socks on. Trying to become a teacher was showering with my socks on, but preaching and serving God the rest of my life, just taking the socks off. And, oh, this feels better. And I told the Lord in the park, and I said, Father, I will be the best. I will get to heaven. If this is what you have for me the rest of my life, I will get to heaven, and I will be known in heaven as the best parking lot guy that's ever lived. And I meant it. I said, Lord, I'll do this the rest of my life. And I wasn't using it as a stepping stone. I looked at it as, this is where God has me, and it's an honor. If it's this you have me all the rest of my life, so be it. Do not think that you clean the church, it's any less honorable than preaching up here. Do not think if you're serving a nursery, it's any less honorable. We do what God calls us to do, and whatever God calls us to do is honorable, and you do it with excellence. There will be people that will never get behind a pulpit, that will never preach, but they clean the church, they help with the kids, they were faithful to the church, and they'll get way more accolades than someone that was out in front and getting the spotlight. They were way more faithful and their heart was way better. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do it as unto the Lord. I remember, go to Hebrews 6:10 for time's sake while we're closing up. I remember April 2004, my dad had a stroke. It drastically changed his life. And he got out of the nursing home and we moved in with him our first year of marriage. And I did everything for him. I mean everything. Things that a son never thinks he'd have to do for his dad, and things that were very hard for him to have a son. We're talking showering, bathroom, to do to your dad. I mean, that's not what a son wants to do. It's not what a dad wants to do. And it went on for a long time, and it changed my life radically and drastically and dramatically. And I remember starting to get bitter. All my friends are out doing stuff and hanging out and having fun, and I'm walking into the house and it's like a horror scene at times, you know, some of the things, you know, that I wouldn't even say from the pulpit that I had to deal with him. And I remember starting to take it out on him and in an attitude and how I treated him, you know. I just was like kind of short with him. Here he was in a vulnerable position and I'd give him attitude, you know, and just not be sweet like I should, you know. Like, make him know that I'm really annoyed I'm doing this right now. Horrible stuff. Honestly, it makes me want to punch myself right in the face, right in front of you. You ever see that? You see that picture the other night that came off the field? He was mad at himself. He punched himself so hard in the face. That's what I want to do right now. When I think of how my attitude back then, it just brings tears in my eyes. I just want to knock myself out. It's horrible. And I was sick of myself back then, how I felt so bad. And I got before on my knees and I said, Lord, I never put a hand on him or was physical or mean like that. Just bad attitude, making him feel bad, you know, in times. And, Benny, come deck me. Just hit me as hard as you can in the face. Hallelujah. Anybody want to? I mean, don't answer if you want to. Anybody want to take a shot? Take a shot. I need it. Thinking back how I used to be, selfish and just gross. I hate it. And totally un-Jesus-like, really. I said, Lord, I don't like this. This is unfair. I remember having a moment. I was just feeling so bad for him and compassion. I said, never again. I said, Lord, every time I have to help him go to the bathroom, I don't care what kind of a mess there is, every time I have to shower him, I'm going to take care of him and make his food and get him ready for bed and everything as if it's you I'm taking care of. I'm going to look at my dad as Jesus. And it changed everything. Because you'd never not be sweet to Jesus. You'd be so patient with Jesus. I said, I want to be that way towards my dad. And I humbled myself. Well, it's the same thing. You come here and say, I'm going to serve with excellence for Jesus. Praise God. Last but not least, Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Look at this now. For God is not unrighteous. We know he's not unrighteous, but what would be an unrighteous behavior? To forget your work and labor of love. If God forgot your work and your labor that comes from love, that's why they're over there in nursery. That's why people are on stage. That's why they love people. They love the church. It's a love motivation. Amen. The Bible says, if God forgot what you did, motivated out of love, which was translated into work and labor, and you'll see exactly what it is, it would be called unrighteous. But he's not unrighteous, so he doesn't forget. So you could say it this way, God is righteous, therefore he won't forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name in that. So in his name towards him, but how? Demonstrated how? In that you have ministered, that word minister means served, you have served the saints and do serve. What's he saying? When you serve the saints, when you serve a parent, you serve the whole church by cleaning, you serve the whole church by being on usher and music and whatever you're doing, cleaning up, making food for people, setting up, taking down. If pastor don't recognize you, if your fellow congregation, sheep, brother and sister in Christ don't recognize you, don't worry about it. The one that needs to recognize will not forget it. And the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. He puts one up and puts another down. You just keep being faithful and do it with all your heart. He notices. Look at how they clean that toilet. They got a bad thought, but they quickly got that bad thought out. Or they come here and they're so excited to do it. Or they can't wait to serve the kids today. They put their flesh under. They had a hard week, but here they are on sound. And wow, that they're always on time for me. Or he looks down and says, my God, they show up to work every day on time. They get there early and stay there all day, and I can't get them to do anything. I can't get them to show up on time. Their attitudes stink. He sees it all. But just know this, those of you that are laboring, and those of you that will pick up the pace and become a blessing to the house of God and not just be the family member that eats and leaves. Doesn't mean you can't leave after church. I'm not saying that. But I mean, that's all you do is you just hear the word. You don't do anything to help. And if you're given that servant too, but God also gave us a body. We can't just all say, well, I give money, that's just my ministry. No. Everybody should be involved in the ministry of helps. Amen. Everybody should help out. Know this, that when you're serving and coming and being faithful, and it's gonna be hard to be in nursery when Reverend Greer's in here. Just know God knows. It's gonna be hard to sit out there. Just know, God knows. He sees your attitude, sees your heart. Oh, man, you're setting yourself up for promotion and blessing. Amen? So let's pick it up around here. Amen? Let's be like Jesus. Whatever needs to be done, sir, yes, sir. Father, we love you and praise you. We glorify you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, it's not right that 10% do 90%. It should be 90%, and that way everybody only has to do about 10%. That's the way it should be, Father. We ought to chip in. We ought to help. We ought to just be available if we need more ushers. If you're a healthy man, you should be available. If you're a healthy woman, if we need children's church, we need nursery people, you should be available. If you're healthy and have a healthy body, and you can come to clean, you should be available to clean and help out. Why? We're a part of a family here. One body trying to pitch in and chip in and help out. Why? We want to be like Jesus. We want to be great in your eyes, Father. So Lord, I just pray that everyone here, if they wouldn't get offended, because if they do or don't, I'm still going to hug and love them and not, I won't even take a second thought about it. That's between them and God. But I pray everybody get a revelation of what your word says concerning serving and being faithful and sacrificing and helping out, Lord, and greatness, and being willing and having the right attitude. I just pray their eyes will be open, Lord, and that they would walk into this area and this part of doing the word, because there's fruit that can be produced by doing the word in this area, but if people won't do it, they'll miss out on that fruit production. And so, Lord, we don't want that for anybody. So we thank you. Hearts were touched. Lives were changed today. We're strengthening the core of this church is what we're doing. These are strengthening messages. Come up higher messages. Be more like Jesus messages. So we thank you for it, Father. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're in here and can hear my voice, or you're listening by live stream now or in the future, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, it's a 100% certainty. Yes, I am. And that's awesome to know that when this life ends, there's a greater. I'll tell you what, it sure does dull some of the stings of life knowing that this ain't it. Whew, if this was it, man, things that life throw at you would be real hard to take. But this ain't it. This is just the starting ground. Heaven is it. Eternity with Him is it. You say, I don't know for sure I would go there. Well, you can be sure. The Bible tells you how to get there. He didn't give you Jesus to get to heaven or give you a place called heaven and then not give you directions how to get there. He gave you directions. And the directions are, number one, you got to believe in Jesus. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish. That's the first thing. Now, you don't have to understand everything and have it all figured out, but in your heart of hearts, you know Jesus is real. That's number one. But there's a second qualification to get into heaven. You have to receive Jesus in your heart. Just an acknowledgement that He's real. He doesn't come in just because you acknowledge, yeah, I know you're real. The devil knows He's real, but Jesus ain't living on the inside of him. You got to invite Him in. He's such a gentleman. He doesn't barge His way in. He doesn't force His way in. He waits for an invitation. You must call on His name. So is there anybody here with heads bowed and eyes closed? You can say, I don't know for sure I go to heaven. But I'll tell you, Pastor, I do believe in the Lord. But I've never received Him officially. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody this morning that's never done that before. Now, if you've done that, He's not going to take it back because you had a bad week or you had a bad month or a bad year or a bad 5 years. No, just repent and ask Him to forgive you for what you've done wrong. But He's still in there. He's not going to leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. So if you're here this morning, you could say, I want Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air? I'll be put right back down. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Anybody at all, you say, I want to make a commitment today to Him that you've never done that. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in the building. So I trust everyone here is born again. But if by chance there's someone under the sound of my voice in this building, on live stream right now, or in the future, via the archive, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus the Lord of their life. All you need to do is say, Lord, I believe. Please come into my heart. And He will. He'll save you and forgive you. Well, you know, should be a normal thing if someone makes a meal for you to thank them. I didn't make the meal. I just served the meal. But God made the meal. So let's thank Him for what we've eaten today. We ought to be thankful. It's wrong if mom, grandma, dad, grandpa, uncle, aunt make a meal and you don't say anything. That's wrong. That's rude. Jesus, thank you for the word today. We want to be more like you. You are the example. There was nothing too low that you wouldn't have done for us. You were not above anything. You showed and demonstrated. I'll clean toilets. I'll take care of kids. I'll stand out in the parking lot. You demonstrated it, Lord. We want to be more like you on the road to exaltation. We praise you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.